Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the July 2010 issue of Boys Life magazine. We're going to begin today's reading from Scouts in Action, and it's a true story. And the caption reads, Trevor Duncan, he saved his sister from drowning. Trevor Duncan, 8, and his sister Samantha, 10, were swimming in a 10-foot-deep pool on a cruise ship when Samantha slipped from a ladder and her legs became caught in the rungs. And here it has a picture of Samantha falling and her legs wrapped around the rungs of a ladder, and you see Trevor there just in shock. Well, with no lifeguard on duty, Samantha was hanging upside down, unable to lift her head out of the water. Trevor swam underneath his sister to push her up so she could breathe. And it has a picture of Trevor pushing up on her shoulders to get her head out of the water. Well, unable to free his sister on his first attempt, Trevor dived back under and pushed again until her legs came loose. Trevor helped Samantha out of the water and called for help using the ship's phone. He then ran to tell his parents about the incident. And so it shows a picture of here of his sister lying on the deck and Trevor running for help. Mr. Duncan took Samantha to the ship's infirmary. An X-ray showed a severely bruised leg. Trevor stayed calm during the emergency and kept his sister from drowning. And it shows his sister at the infirmary up with Trevor kind of holding her in a kind of tender way. And then has a picture here of Trevor receiving his heroism award. And it reads, Bear Club Scout Trevor Duncan, a member of PAC 136, chartered to Baker Elementary Parent-Teacher Organization, Bentonville, Arkansas, received a heroism award for his actions. Good job, Trevor. We have another one from More Scouts in Action, More True Stories of Scouts in Action. The caption on this one reads, He saved the girl caught in the tangled rope. Chris Strong, 16, and other family members were riding inner tubes near Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, when they saw a girl slip from a rope and fall into shallow water. And it shows a picture of Chris Strong and looks like a companion of his, and the girl falls right into the water. It looks like head first. Well, with a rope tangled around her ankle, the girl was unable to keep her head out of the water. Chris jumped in and held her above the water, but the swift current made it hard to keep his footing. Chris struggled to hold on to the girl until his uncle and a bystander freed her from the rope. Chris then lifted her to safety. The girl wasn't hurt and returned to a campground nearby as Chris and his uncle rejoined their family. And, of course, it shows pictures here of Chris holding on to the girl as tightly as he could and his uncle grabbing the rope and another friend holding Chris. And then Chris walking on to meet his family and the girl running off to where she had come from. Well, Life Scout Christopher P. Strong, a member of Venturing Crew 1151, chartered to the Latter-day Saints Church, Orchard Hills Ward, American Fork, Utah, received a heroism award for his actions. And here's a great picture of Chris on page 40. Well, there's another one. He saved a girl after a seizure. Brendan Tritt, 16, and several adults were supervising swimmers from their kayaks during an annual family outing when Morgan Earl, 17, suffered a seizure while swimming across the lake. And here's a picture here of the boys kayaking along with other adults and the girl just about to have a seizure in the water. Morgan's parents tried to help but weren't able to keep her head above the water. Brendan paddled his kayak close to Morgan and held her head out of the water during the seizure. And has a picture here of Brendan doing just that. Brendan lifted Morgan onto the side of his kayak and a rowboat towed them to the dock. The seizure soon passed. Morgan was not hurt during the incident. Well, Star Scout Brendan Tritt, a member of Troop 3064, chartered to First Baptist Church, Haddonfield, New Jersey, received a heroism award for his actions. Of course, it has a picture here of Brandon holding Morgan on the boat and as they're going on to shore to get help. Good job, Brendan Tritt. Well, now, it's been a while, but let's find out about the wacky adventures of Pedro. Years ago, Pedro's pals, the Zagurians of planet Zork, sought his help. Now they need him again. And it has pictures here of Pedro, along with these creatures from planet Zork. Pedro says, "To save your planet? From what?" Zork says, "From the Transgalactic Sports Authority. They want to evict us, then clear off planet Zork into nothing but rocker sports fields." Pedro says, "The whole planet?" Zork, "Oh, well, rocker is very popular in these parts." Zork gives a demonstration. "It's played with a ball like this." And he has kind of a ball that looks like a soccer ball, but looks like it may be a little heavier. Pedro says, "Really? I was a star soccer player in my day. Oh, watch this." And then he kicks the ball. "Oops. No, it's not a..." says Zork. Pedro, "Ow, oh, ow, oh, 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 oh." And Zork says, "I tried to tell you. It's a rock." Poor Pedro. He thought it was a soccer ball, but he ended up kicking a big rock. Oh, boy. Well, that's enough for the wacky adventures of Pedro. Well, it's been a while since we heard from Pee-wee Harris. This time, Pee-wee Harris looks at aquatics. Well, it has a nice picture here of Pedro and his friends, and Pee-wee's there with a big smile on his face. Let's find out what's going on here. His friends say, "Hey, Pee-wee, glad you could come where all the pool inflatables you said you were bringing." Well, Pee-wee looks at them. "Everything I promised is right here in this box." And Pee-wee's holding a little box in his hand. Well, his friends say, "Are you trying to tell me that they're all in this tiny little box?" Pee-wee, "Uh-huh." Now remember, Pee-wee had promised his friends to have inflatable items so they can go swimming in, because they're all at the pool now. Well, Pee-wee says, "It's a new invention that my dad's company's been working on." Pedro pulls out this little capsule. It's almost like a pill maybe Mom and Dad would take for a headache. Well, Pee-wee says, "Each capsule holds a mystery inflatable. You never know what you're going to get." So now Pedro's in the water. He's in the pool. And he takes his little capsule and he drops it in the water. And he says, "The best thing is they're water activated and inflate on contact. Watch." So now has a picture here of Pedro dropping the capsule into the water. And poof! Up from the water, here comes Pedro. He has a crown on his head and a little, like a Neptune fork. It's instant King Neptune. And there is Pedro riding on a dolphin. And his friends, whoa! So now they say, "Well, hey, Pee-wee, where's mine?" So Pee-wee gives each of his buddies a little capsule. So they all have one, there's three of them, and they all drop theirs in the water. So Pee-wee says, "Go ahead, guys, help yourselves." So now it shows the capsules all falling into the water. And then, whoop, "As I said, Westy," says Pee-wee, "you never know what you're going to get." So all of his friends, there's one here sitting on top of a giraffe. There's another one of his buddies sitting on top of a big hamburger. And still another one on a little pink pony, all in the water. Well, I guess the capsules all worked. They're all having fun with their inflatables in the pool. All right, Pee-wee. Well, that was Pee-wee Harris and his look at aquatics. Remember the jamboree they had a week ago? It was a success, a tremendous success. Here's some information on what actually was going on there. Pee-wee presents Centennial Corner. I heard the Empire State Building in New York will be lit up in red, white, and blue in honor of the Boy Scouts of America on July 31st. Remember, this just happened a week ago. And one of his buddies says, hey, cool. BSA shines brightly. At 8 p.m. Eastern on July 31st, the entire scouting family will be able to take part in a special nationwide broadcast from the 100th Anniversary National Scout Jamboree. The Shining Light Across America will bring the scouting community together for a single nationwide event for the first time in history. Councils across the country will gather at camps, community centers, and sports stadiums for the broadcast. Now, this is something that I'm sure all of you took part in a few days ago. If you want to find out more about that, contact your local Boy Scouts of America Council office. Well, now let's go to Bible stories. And that's right on the same page, page 43. And we have a picture here of Moses. And he's looking at, remember how he was given the task to share with the Israelites the tablets from God's word that had the Ten Commandments on them. And he has a picture here of him reading them, looking at them himself, I guess before he brought them to the Israelites. Let's find out about this. Life of Moses, Part 7. Now after the Israelites left Egypt, they came to the desert of Sinai and camped before a great mountain. Then the mountain began to shake and smoke like a great furnace. The Lord called Moses and Aaron alone to come up. Then God said to Moses,
I am the Lord. Apart from me, you shall have no other gods. You shall not make any idol for worship. You shall not misuse my name. The seventh day of each week belongs to me, and no one is to work on it. Respect your parents. Do not murder. Be faithful in marriage. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not desire things that belong to others.
These and many other laws the Lord gave to Israel, a people he had chosen to be his own. This information is from the book of Exodus, chapters 19 and 20. Our next article is entitled, Home of the Brave. And has a big picture here of a young man looking through a telescope, and he's looking at rockets flying up. He's on a ship, and he's almost on the top of the ship, and there are others looking at rockets flying up. And they are look like those they are very, very interested in that. And the caption reads, Rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Young Adam is witness to one of the most important moments in our country's history. Let's find out about this information. Well, smoke stung my eyes. My nose and throat burned. I felt a blow to my chest like a prize fighter's punch every time one of the big guns went off. Rockets screamed overhead. I clung to our little sloop's rigging the way a drowning man clings to a lifeline, trying to hold the telescope steady. Can you see the flag, Adam? Mr. Key called from the deck. I could hardly hear him over the battle's noise. All I could see were rocket trails, exploding bombs, cannons flashing, and thick smoke that blanketed everything, turning the night even darker. No, sir, I called down. I saw no flag. Was there a flag to be seen? Did we still have a country? How did I get here? I was no soldier or sailor. Hadn't I just turned 14 this past spring when I came to Washington to begin working for Mr. Francis Scott Key? Mr. Key was one of the best lawyers in the city. I was honored to be his law clerk. Everyone knew the war with England was not going well, but I never suspected it might come to me. In the summer of 1814, the British fleet sailed into Chesapeake Bay. They burned Washington. The president's mansion, the capitol, and so many other buildings were left smoking ruins. Mr. Key and I barely escaped into Maryland. We had hardly returned home when we were off again. The British had arrested a prominent Maryland patriot, Dr. William Beans. They were holding him prisoner aboard their warships. His friends hoped that a famous lawyer like Mr. Key could negotiate his release. I will do my best, Mr. Key promised. He asked me to go with him as his assistant. The British were now sailing north to Baltimore to do what they had done to Washington. We sailed out to the British fleet in a small sloop, the Minden. I felt like a minnow among sharks. The British warships towered above us, bristling with cannon. Sailors and soldiers filled their decks. How could our young country prevail against such power? Mr. Key and I both feared that Baltimore was doomed. And then? What would be left of the United States when the British sailed home? But luck was with us. After some grumbling, Mr. Key persuaded the British commanders to release Dr. Beans. However, we would remain their guest until they had captured Fort McHenry, the main fort protecting Baltimore's harbor. It won't be easy, Adam, Mr. Key remarked to me. He pointed to the huge U.S. flag flying over Fort McHenry. The men in that fort mean to fight. I hoped he was right. If Fort McHenry fell, nothing stood between the British and Baltimore. We dined with the British officers that night aboard the HMS Surprise. Their carousing kept us awake most of the night. One song went on forever. To Anacreon in heaven, where he sat in full glee, a few sons of harmony sent a petition. Endless verses followed. I fell asleep before the end. And well that I did. Over the next 2 days I got no sleep at all. The siege of Fort McHenry began. 200-pound bombs exploded in midair, showering the fort with shrapnel. The British tried a new weapon, Congreve rockets. They fired dozens at a time. Their fiery tails whooshed across the sky. We felt the shock as they exploded above and inside the fort. How could anyone survive, I wondered. Mr. Key handed me a pocket telescope. Go aloft, Adam. Tell us what you see. I climbed into the rigging. Clouds of thick smoke covered the fort. A breeze came up. I briefly saw the flag. It still waves, I shouted. A huge blast nearly knocked me from the rigging. A British bomb blew up one of the fort's cannons. British sailors cheered. How much longer could Fort McHenry hold out? The bombardment continued all night. Occasionally I caught glimpses of the flag, illuminated by the red glare of the rockets and the yellow flashes of the bombs. I peered through the telescope until my eyes burned. Can you see the flag? Mr. Key asked. Yes, it still flies, I answered, hoping it was so. Suddenly the bombardment ceased. We saw British soldiers climbing into barges. They'll attack the fort from the rear, Mr. Key explained. Will they succeed, I asked? Would we still have a flag, a country? We would know in the next few hours. Deafening booms ended all conversation. Fiery flashes lit up Fort McHenry's walls, followed by more flashes on the land sea. It went on and on. The firing ceased. Dead silence followed. What does this mean? I asked Mr. Key. Either the British have taken the fort, he paused, or their attack failed and Baltimore is saved. The first light of dawn appeared over the horizon. The flag? I searched for the faintest glimpse of star or stripe. Then I saw it. Our flag. Torn, tattered, but still flying. The star-spangled banner still waved, I shouted. I started cheering, but not Mr. Key. I noticed him scribbling something on an envelope. To celebrate the occasion, he said, he read the first verse to me. Oh, say can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. That's good, I exclaimed. Your words fit that song we heard aboard the Surprise. Mr. Key nodded. Anacreon's tune deserves better words. Stirring words they are. Mr. Key published his poem after we returned to Washington. People sing it every day. It is one of the few good things to come out of this dreadful war. I expect that Americans will be singing Mr. Key's Star-Spangled Banner for years to come. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. May it be so forever. And of course, it has a picture here of the two ships. Doesn't look like they're meeting, but look like they're approaching each other. And it reads, "We sailed out to the British fleet in a small sloop, the Minden. I felt like a minnow among the sharks. The British warships towered above a British bristling with cannon. How could our young country prevail against such power? But as we know, it did." Well, let's go through the adventures of Max Dog. Hey guys, get your gear together. It's time for adventure. CampingMax.com. Consistently the lowest price. Get prepared. Well, as a proud sponsor of Global Scouting Activities, CampingMax.com extends a discount of up to 25% or more to everyone involved in scouting. Fill your backpack with lots of yummy food from Mountain House, the best quality at any price. Mountain House offers tasty, easy-to-prepare nutritional meals, snacks, and even desserts. Scouts get 10% off on all Mountain House foods. See all the choices at CampingMax.com. You'll need a mess kit to eat your fine Mountain House grub. This one from Wenzel has it all. And it shows a nice little mess kit and even a little doggy. And he says, "How do I love Chow Time?" Start with the 7-pound High Peak Hyperlite 3-season tent. It's ideal for 2 adults plus storage, all types of camping, and includes a full rain cover. Add the High Peak Kathmandu 70 plus 10 backpack built to last with durable ripstop nylon and manufacturer's lifetime warranty. This pack expands to 6,000 cubic inches and weighs just 5 pounds. Too many features to list here. Finally, add the 3.2-pound High Peak Alpine Pack. This expedition-quality sleeping bag will keep you comfortably down to 20 degrees. The Everest Day Pack Scout Special. These packs are just the right size for day hikes from your camp. Choose from a variety of colors listed on the site. Sleep comfortably on the High Peak Self-Inflating Mat. In its carry bag at 2.8 pounds, it measures only 22 inches by 6 inches in diameter, but it inflates up to 72 inches by 20 inches by 1.5 inches. Then, finally, summer fun, it's the Dragon. Fast Dragon Flame graphics cover this 56-inch fully enclosed, low-profile, flat-top towable tube that will give you one ferocious ride. And sit in comfort, like Max does. These easy-to-carry collapsible camp stools weigh less than a pound and come in various colors. Well, now let's conclude with Think and Grin. A book never written. This is from page 52. A book never written. Perfect Peanuts by Ella Font. And this is from Mujai Ridgevi in Lafayette, California. Daffy Nishin. Olympiads, commercials shown during the summer and winter games. That's from Podrick Burns in Oakland, New Jersey. Jason, why did Mickey Mouse become an astronaut? Will, beats me. Jason, he wanted to visit Pluto. Okay, and that's from Jason Walter in 29 Palms, California. Chris, what's worse than being a 5-ton witch? Jim. Jill, no clue. Hit me with it. Chris, being her broom. All right. And that's from Christian Humphrey in Fredericksburg, Virginia. A book never written. How to Rank Up in Scouting by Ed Vance. That's from Douglas Grasty in Western Springs, Illinois. Warped Wise Man wonders, why is it called the World Series if only North American teams can play? That's from Ajay Gandhi in Allentown, Pennsylvania. A book never written. American Victories by Norman D. Beach. Okay. And that's from Ben Hagelin in Ontario, New York. Howard, what do you call a disgruntled Frankfurter maker? Susan, beats me. Howard, someone who doesn't relish his job. Okay, get it? Relish on hot dog? Okay. And that's from Howard Wiener in Spring Hill, Florida. Dwight, where is the only place Friday comes before Thursday? Michael, where? Dwight, the dictionary. And that's from Dwight Galtney in York, Pennsylvania. Matt, what does the king do when he burps? Bob, I give up. What? Matt, he issues a royal pardon. All right? And that's from Matthew Coffer in Vienna, Virginia. Anthony, knock, knock. James, who's there? Anthony, lettuce. James, lettuce who? Anthony, let us in. It's raining out here. Okay, good job, Anthony. And from Anthony Shamika from Brooklyn, New York. Nick, why is a dog's nose in the middle of its face? Sam, tell me. Nick, because it's the center. S-C-E-N-T-E-R. The smeller. Okay. And that from Nicholas Beckman in Santa Maria, California. A Book Never Written. The Marathon by Will He Make It. Will He Make It. Okay. That from Matthew Perino in Dennis, Massachusetts. A Book Never Written. Large Cats by Tiger. By Ty, G-U-R-R. All right. And that's from Taylor Muck in St. Paul, Minnesota. Definition. Addicted. When someone can't stop doing math. And that's from Coulter Chase in Killeen, Texas. Tom, how do rodeo cowboys become rich? Bill, you stump me. Tom, their horses always give them a buck or two. All right? And that's from Drew Burke in McMinnville, Oregon. Boss, did you mark that box fragile this side up? Employee, yep. And to make sure of it, I marked it that way on every side. That's from Hunter Reed in McLeansville, North Carolina. Definition. Ratify. To turn into a rodent. No, rat, if I. All right. That's from Ryan Carroll in Cumming, Georgia. Mom, you still need to wear a long-sleeve shirt today. Nate, no, I'm wearing short sleeves. I have Second Amendment rights. Mom, what are you talking about? Nate, you know, the right to bear arms. That's from Nate Fitzsimmons in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Howard, what do you get when you cross a sweeping device in a toy? Susie, I haven't a clue. Howard, a broomerang. And that from Howard Wiener in Spring Hill, Florida. A Book Never Written. Finding a Carpool by I Need a Ride. Brian Treader in St. Louis, Missouri. A Book Never Written. How to Check a Pulse by Is He Dead? From Patrick Hoffman. From Sedalia, Missouri. And finally, a definition forum. What are you when you're not against them? Paul Petrovsky. What are you? Forum. What are you when you're not against them? Meriden, Connecticut. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading of Boys Life magazine. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long until next time.